Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake, these aren't easy things, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. So you are not saved by works. You cannot be saved by works. But you are saved for works, to do them. So works matter. Are you busy about them? Will you be faithful in them? What will your attitude be in them? Can you celebrate with those who maybe get ahead of you?
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper, and deeper, I want to know you more.
We're called to surrender our possessions, reputations, and lives for the sake of Christ. In so doing, we're promised to be rewarded. Yet Pastor Troy explains today that our works do not save us. Instead, we're saved for works. We're saved so that our lives can reflect the grace that God's graciously given us. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you could receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with part two of his message entitled, The Wages of Heaven.
And all of a sudden, their church is exploding. Whoa, what's going on? And all of a sudden, your heart is tested. Now, I know lots of pastors, so I know they talk about, how's your church doing? And, you know, that happens in the pastor world, so I see that. But it also happens in the work world, in our worlds. Oh, by the way, let me finish the point there. See, there was something in our heart that's not rewardable. And it was revealed in that. And same thing is true in ministry or in the workplace or in anything that you do. You may think, I deserve more. I put more. I did this. And it's that very attitude that makes us less rewardable. And you know, God is able to do everything He wants to do in this church here without me. And if I ever got to a place, or if any one of you in ministry or in the workplace or in anything that you do, start to get a heart that is a little haughty, a little higher than it should be, He can remove you. Time and service means nothing to the Lord. Hey, Moses didn't get to enter the land. You'd think if anyone deserved to at least go in there and trot around a little while, it'd be Moses. And so, in the things that we do for the Lord, it's not only what we do. It's whether we're doing what He has asked us to do. Are we doing it faithfully? And what is our heart? Where is our heart in doing it? Some of the things that'll come up that we experience will challenge our hearts. You know, one of the things that helps me to keep my heart in the right place is understanding this. And I got to go back to it often because my heart wants to defend itself in everything. But I have to remember, you know, the Lord is testing my heart. So where is my heart? And my heart's not in a good place sometimes, and I need to take it before the Lord and go, Lord, I should rejoice with that person, or I shouldn't take so much offense to that person. And it makes it a little easier when we understand these things. That's why we need to understand the wages of heaven. When we understand these things, it makes it a lot easier for us to let our hearts be in the right place. Our job isn't to worry about someone else's road, what someone else is doing, or what God is asking them to do, or whether they're getting easier stick or draw. Our job only is to be faithful to our own service to the Lord. The Lord not only examines the quality of our service, this would be the point here, I guess, but He tests our hearts in our service. And that you can guarantee. The attitude we have in rejoicing with others or wanting more for ourselves, thinking we deserve better or more, All of these attitudes can limit and even hinder our joy in service. So we need to be careful because the Lord tests the hearts. Verse 9. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained to the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish to do with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last." He's explaining, so in this way, that's how the economy of heaven works. And that's why it's going to be that it'll seem that the first is last and the last is first. In our eyes, we look at things from an hourly wage, white collar versus blue collar mindset, executive level and out in the field. That's the way we view things in our world. But that's not the economy of heaven. God is concerned with faithfulness, the faithfulness of each man to do what he has been given in the time he's been given with the ability he's been given. So God rewards according to faithfulness with what we've been entrusted. That's how the wages of heaven are doled out. Not according to our time or energy, but have we been faithful to what he wants? What he's asked me may be different from someone else. So what faithfulness looks like for what I'm supposed to do may look totally different than faithfulness for what that person's supposed to be. I may look at it and go, I probably have way more rewards than that person. But the question is, are you being faithful with what I've given you? Yes. Then here's your denarii. Well, he's probably not getting that much. And he's going to say, have you been faithful with what I've given you? Yes, Lord, it wasn't much, but yes. Then here's your denarii. What? He gets as much as me? I did way more than him. You see how the heart gets tested. We get rewarded for faithfulness. In fact, if he's entrusted you with more, more is required of you in order to be considered faithful. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, "Everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required." If you have more time, none of us have more time, I mean, it's a 24-hour day, but I mean is you've been able to retire, or you've been blessed to not have to work, you just got money, or maybe for the wife, you're able to stay home. That's a blessing. You're able to not have to go work. Then guess what? More time is required of you. If you have more ability, then guess what? Higher standards are required of you to be considered faithful, like the person who can't maybe do it as well. You have a position of influence, or you want a position of influence. Guess what? Much higher standards on your life are expected. You want to be an influence? You need to live the life. There's a responsibility that goes with being an influencer, and you can't influence people you're not around. So you can't be someone who says, "I want the title so that I can be an influencer, and I'm going to kick back and just let my title influence people." You have to be around people. You have to be there to influence people. So if you have these desires, if God has called you to these things, guess what? A higher standard's been placed on you. To be faithful, we need to be all in, and we need to be faithful to what God has given us. What is that for you? Are you in a marriage and it's difficult? God has called you to be faithful in that marriage. Maybe you're serving in ministry. Maybe you're in leadership. God's called you to a higher standard if you're going to be an influencer. Maybe you'd like to be involved in ministry. God's going to ask more of your time You need to give of yourself. But the question isn't, what do you want to do? The question is, what does God want you to do? What is He asking you to do? Because you can't be faithful to the Lord unless you're faithful to what He wants. You can decide, I'd like to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this for the Lord. I'm going to do this. Well, you better take your plans to the Lord, because He's not forced to pay any man based upon what they want to do. But we are all called and given and entrusted with things by God, if we'll open our hearts and our ears and listen. You may feel like an 11th hour servant sometimes, but guess what? You don't lose your reward. I know some who, they get older before they finally realize, I need to serve the Lord. I should serve the Lord. Oh man, how many rewards will I miss out on? Hey, you know what? God blesses. And if you take in the weakness of all the strength that you used to have, I mean, in the latter years, we're not as strong and we can't go as often. So He may not ask as much in the way of time from you because, you know, maybe you do need to rest. But He will reward you the same if you're faithful. But to be faithful to the Lord is our call in life. And our wages, they come because of our willingness to be faithful, our heart in the way we're faithful. Are we able to rejoice with those who get ahead? Are we able to rejoice with those who come alongside? There are some, they just can't stand for people to get ahead of them. Guess what? You're going to lose a lot of reward having that kind of a mindset in the kingdom of heaven. We're to be builders. Can you imagine the guy, and besides all of these rewards go to his account also, who led Billy Graham to Christ? Can you imagine him going, oh man, I should be doing that. I should have all those people. Lord, I led him to Christ. Can you imagine that guy trying to keep Billy Graham down? Billy Graham was just faithful, simple, faithful guy who God chose to use in the way that He did, equipped him, enabled him, called him to that. And God used him. So we're to build others up, and our heart needs to be in it. Jesus makes a point also that it's the landowner's right to do what he wants to anyway. So who are you to say? Who are you to grumble and complain? God made you, God calls you, God gives you, and God enables. Another thing that I hold on to with this mindset is the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you can kind of grasp that scripture, that'll help you kind of keep moving in your spiritual walk as well. Whatever you want to give me, whatever you want to take away, Lord. But I want to be faithful to you. I trust you. And Jesus is saying, the landowner has the right and the servants have no right to grumble. You know, you should never ask God to give you what you think you deserve. Well, that guy's got a denarii. Lord, I've worked way harder than him. Give me what I deserve, Lord. You know what? You're going to find that if you read the Bible long enough, you don't want what you deserve. It's not pretty. And so anything we get at all is really God's grace. It's His grace. I hate hearing those who say, do you realize how much I gave up to serve the Lord? How much I could have made? How much I gave up so much to serve the Lord? I hate to hear that because my thoughts always go back to, you gave up hell. You gave up a life without real purpose and meaning. You know, when you serve the Lord, you don't have to be ahead of other people. You just need to be faithful to the Lord. And there's a sense of satisfaction and completeness that comes into your heart that you can never experience in the work world. There are so many looking for this feeling. And God gives it to those who are faithful. I mean, those are the wages of heaven. And they're very, very worth it. They're worth more than gold, worth more than money. To feel, there's so many who would say, I would trade all of my money in the world. I would exchange everything I've ever acquired if I could just feel complete or satisfied. That was the rich man. The rich man approached Jesus. Lord, what do I still lack? And Jesus put his finger on it and he couldn't get rid of it. Couldn't be faithful. Can you? See, instead, we should be like those who served and said, Lord, give me whatever you think is right. I'm going to serve you. Whatever you say is right, that's fine with me. I'm just going to serve you. That's all I'm going to busy myself with. That seems to be the attitude the servants of God should have. In Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10, we read Jesus' words. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once, sit down, eat. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drank, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. And if you have that attitude, guess what? You will find that God is extremely generous. It's getting that attitude that's so hard. Accomplishing the tasks, not so hard. Finding ourselves in positions where we think we're important, not really all that hard. But the heart, to have the heart that we're supposed to have in doing it, that's a work that takes a lifetime. There are going to be a lot of surprises in heaven. People you expect to have so many rewards, you're going to find didn't get all that much. They're going to be at the, everything's going to be burned up. Just a little trinket there. There you go. Whoa, that's all he got. On the other hand, there are going to be some you probably never heard of. Their name maybe never mentioned. That'll be so embarrassingly, graciously rewarded because of their service, their faithfulness. Never recognized, never acknowledged here. They were never on a platform, never preached sermons, never had people rushing to meet them, shake their hand, thank them. They served faithfully behind the scenes. Prayer warriors, missionaries out in the field no one knows about. Servants who volunteered, never got credit for it. Let me read this little illustration here. Story of a couple of missionaries, a husband and wife, after decades of faithful service overseas, were returning back to the United States. Their heart's desire was to stay out in the field, but their age, they were up there in age, and their health was failing, and it was a concern to the mission board. So after packing up their belongings, they boarded a steamship bound for New York. Also traveling on the same ocean liner was a popular, well-known government official and his wife who enjoyed hunting in the region, who was heading back to America. Over the weeks at sea, this elderly couple observed that the official's drunkenness, flirting, foul language, it was a marked contrast to the lifestyle to which they had become accustomed. And they grew even more disheartened when, upon their arrival in New York, the official and his wife, well, they were greeted with great fanfare. A brass band, reporters and photographers, admirers, roses for his wife, the works. And so this aged missionary couple, health broken and spent in their service for Christ, walked off the gangplank through the crowd, unmet, unseemingly unknown. As they walked, a tear trickled down the husband's cheek. What's wrong? His wife said. My whole life I've given to serving Christ. We've spent ourselves for Jesus. We've spent ourselves, and nobody's here to greet us. There's no bouquet for you, my wife. His dear wife thought for a moment, and she said, well, honey, it's because we've not yet arrived home. See, I think sometimes the downside to public ministry is there is a greater chance for reward loss. People giving you the thanks. Maybe you can think, you can read your own press, think a little higher of yourself if good press comes in. You can have a wrong attitude. Think that you've done it. And so the heart is not in the right place, and there is a greater risk for reward loss. So if you guys see me in the very back row in heaven, hey, for those of you who are being faithful and no one knows it, God bless you. Just kind of wave back, acknowledge me. You know, Jesus opened this parable saying the kingdom of heaven is like, because it's a story that reveals a heavenly truth. And that truth is this: one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, he's speaking to Christians here. This is not a judgment for sin. This is what we call the bema seat judgment. The word judgment is the word bematos, which literally means a raised platform judgment. The Greeks used these to speak about a judge who would be in an elevated position, but mostly for reward. It's the place where the ancient Olympians would stand to receive their reward at the end of a race or event. The bematos. Their reward was this: well done, but from a very important figure. Well done. And then also added to that, a crown made of leaves. That was it. There was no gold medal. There was no cash prize. No brand new chariot. Just a well done. We saw you. We noticed you. And that was enough. Just a twig with leaves that would fade in a few days. But listen to what Paul says concerning the believer's race. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." That means he has control of himself. He's temperate, controlled. "Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty." In other words, he has a focus. He knows what he's doing. He's not running aimlessly, but with intention. "Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." He doesn't waste his energy either, just swinging wildly in the air, but he focuses his punches. He knows what he's going for. Again, purpose. And then he says, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." After all you've done, you could become disqualified? Yes, because in my mind, I may have been very, very proud in my accomplishments. God promises you an imperishable crown. Rewards for faithfulness. But faithfulness begins also in the heart. That means that we should put everything into our spiritual walks, the Christian life. Because though salvation is the gift of the believer, the wages of heaven, well, they are very gracious to those who live faithful lives. Matthew 19:29, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake," these aren't easy things, "shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." So you are not saved by works. You cannot be saved by works. But you are saved for works, to do them. So works matter. Are you busy about them? Will you be faithful in them? What will your attitude be in them? Can you celebrate with those who maybe get ahead of you? Maybe have an easier time? Maybe it seems like they shouldn't get as much, but God blesses them with just as much. The wages of heaven consider these things.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper. I want to know you more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to the church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.